This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. When Ruth Stone accepted the National Book Award for Poetry in 2002, she joked, "I think you probably gave it to me because I'm old." She was 87 when she won. It was a late-in-life validation of her standing among America's contemporary poets. Last month, we went up to Ruth Stone's ramshackle farmhouse in Goshen, Vermont, to be with her on her 89th birthday. Longtime neighbors came by at lunchtime, bearing irises and good cheer.
Who is it? Is it Franny? Yay!
And her three daughters were there, Marcia, Phoebe, and Abigail.
Oh, Mother. How old are you?
I'm only 89.
Is that
That's
right?
Not very old.
No, I thought you were...
You thought I was 109, didn't you?
No, actually, I thought you were like 79.
79?
Yeah.
Well, in spirit.
Yeah.
Before the celebration, we talked with Ruth Stone about her life and work. At 89, she's still writing and publishing. She's lost much of her sight. When she reads her poems, typed up in huge print, she hunches over the page and presses her face close to the words.
My mahjong eyes weep when the sky weeps, when color fades. But it is the alphabet, neat, succulent, fresh slants of light on the cave walls. O skull, your hieroglyphs shine far down the passage as if the vapors wrapped around this spinning rock were sweet as lemon peel.
2 years ago, Ruth Stone also won the Wallace Stevens Prize from the Academy of American Poets. One of the prize's judges, the poet Galway Kinnell, said this about her writing: Ruth Stone's poems startle us over and over with their shapeliness, their humor, their youthfulness, the moral gulps they prompt, their fierce exactness of language and memory. Ruth Stone has long hair, henna'd the color of paprika. She has high apple cheeks and bright eyes. She bought this 200-or-so-year-old farmhouse back in 1957 for $3,500, money from a poetry prize. The house where she spends her summers is sagging now, its boards weathered and gray.
Let's see. Out in the back are rose bushes and currants and lilacs.
The small rooms are a jumble of well-worn furniture, wood stoves, and books everywhere. In the kitchen, plastic bags are tucked into gaps in the boards to keep out drafts. We sit on the screened porch with the sound of the brook out back and the wind in the trees, and we talk about when she first started writing poems. She was 6.
I remember when I was very young, feeling the poem coming. And it would be like it was off at a distance, but it was coming like a train, you know, coming toward me. And I would run into the house to try to find paper and pencil to write it down. You know, it was like almost automatic.
Do you remember being 6 years old and feeling that poem coming on like
mm-hmm.
that? You do.
Mm-hmm.
Still now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it still happens. I feel them coming. One poem about going down to the brook to get water because the water system wouldn't work in the winter because ground froze so deep, you know. And so I went through deep snow, and it was, you know, if you go through the crust, you go way down. And I went to the brook, and I had to break the ice on the brook and to get the water. And the poem started at the brook. It was so maddening. Anyway, I had to come back and do it. And then the last line wouldn't come. And it was 10 years before that last line to come. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
When inspiration does come, Ruth Stone scribbles down the words wherever she can, on the back of an envelope or grocery list, a notebook if she's lucky. Her latest book, to be published in September, will be her 9th. It's called In the Dark, and the first poem starts this way: "Half blind, it is always twilight."
Tell me about your eyesight.
My eyesight? Well, I can see you smile. I saw your teeth, and I so forth. I can see you, but there is quite a foggy. There's fog. It's aggravating, but I can see. It makes it very hard to read. And my eyes, because of the condition, tend to blur not to see the spaces between words. That's what's so hard. Mm. It's blurry a little.
You have some poems over there. They're printed out in big type.
Yeah. I think I can try to read them.
Let's see what we have.
Poems. Poem to poetry. When you come back, it will be crow time and flycatcher time, with rising spirals of gnats between the apple trees. Every weed will be quadrupled, coarse, welcoming, and spine-tipped. The crows, their black, flapping bodies, their long calling toward the mountain. Relatives like mine, ambivalent, eye-hooded, hooting and tearing, and you will take me into your fractal, meaningless babble, the quick of my mouth, the madness of my tongue.
It's just moments after Ruth Stone reads about the crows that a ruckus starts high in the trees outside.
Oh, listen, there's a crow. Those are the crows, isn't it? Or is it a blue jay?
No, I think I see a crow up
there. I think it's a crow. Yeah. Yeah, we just wrote about you. Or read about you. Yeah, I know. Here, he's saying.
Ruth Stone writes a lot about this New England countryside. One poem starts, "Dear April in Vermont, are you in bud with apples, or have your cluster lilacs, with no holds barred, tricked the wind into long-whispered lip-to-lip deflowering?" Many other poems are moments glimpsed from the buses and trains that took her to her many teaching jobs over the years, a vagabond professor at Indiana University, Wellesley, NYU, SUNY Binghamton. There are poems about poems, and over, poems about her late husband, Walter.
I think every year, Lassie, he's been dead maybe 40-some years. I think every year or every day or something, that it won't come back, the pain. And it always does, yeah. It comes back, you know, sometimes longer intervals, but it never leaves me.
Walter Stone was a fellow poet and fiction writer. They fell madly in love. She left her first husband to be with him. In 1959, Walter and Ruth Stone went to England with their three young girls. He was on sabbatical. There, she got the news that Walter had committed suicide, had hanged himself with a silk cord over the door in a rooming house.
I was phoned, and the landlady couldn't get the door open to his room. And so I guess I put Marcia took the phone. Marcia, a teenager. And she took the message. And then she came, showed me, she said, "Daddy's dead, Mom." Yeah. Oh, I'm going to cry now. I don't want to. It was hard. It was so shocking. And we all got in bed together that night.
You and the three girls.
I told Phoebe, and she screamed, "Not my daddy, not my daddy," and fell to the floor. So I didn't want to tell Abigail, so I didn't wake her up. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the biggest mistake I ever made.
When I read these poems and you're writing about your husband and his death, and it's sometimes in very almost graphic corporal terms, talking about decay and his
body, feet and so forth. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about his cadaver and...
Oh, yeah. Like, well, that's because I was forcing myself to realize that he was dead and had decayed and buried and so forth, you know, all of it. And I was forcing myself to face reality.
Still now, 45 years after his suicide, Walter Stone haunts his widow's poetry. In one poem in her new book, she writes, "In my skull, night after night, I wrestle with your obstinate ghost." But on the day we visit, Ruth Stone isn't thinking about the past.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you, my darlings.
She's celebrating 89 years and whole imagined galaxies of poems to come.
In the next galaxy, things will be different. No one will lose their sight, their hearing, their gallbladder. It will be all Catskills with brand new wraparound verandas. The idea of Hitler will not have vibrated yet. While back here, they are still clearing out pockets of wrinkled Nazis hiding in Argentina. But in the next galaxy, certain planets will have true blue skies and drinking water.
You can see photos of Ruth Stone and read more of her poems at our website, npr.org.